خرج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على أصحابه فوجدهم متفرقين، قال ما لي أراكم عزين، عزين يعني متفرقين، عزين عزين. لذلك وين ما تكونوا دائما تكونوا متقاربين.
Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he went out on an expedition and found his companions spread out. He said, why do I find you spread out? And then he ordered them to come together. And according to this order, whenever you are anywhere, then you should always be close together, not split apart.
القرآن حبل، قال واعتصموا بحبل، فلو كان في حبل وانت تريد النجاة الكل يأتي يمسك.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Islam as a rope. So if there's one rope, then you all gotta meet at the rope. You have to be close together to get up that rope and hold fast to it.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فنتناول اليوم تفسير سورة العصر. قال ابن القيم رحمه الله في كتابه مفتاح دار السعادة، فهذه السورة على اختصارها هي من أجمع سور القرآن للخير بحذافيره. لذلك نجد بعض العلماء من أهل التحقيق اعتنوا بتفسيرها وبيانها، منهم العلامة الشوكاني رحمه الله، له كتاب النشر لفوائد سورة العصر، وهذه السورة لعظيم شأنها في نفوس الصحابة والسلف، فإن الرجلان منهم إذا التقيا لم يفترقا حتى يقرأها أحدهما على الآخر. أخرج الطبراني عن أبي مدينة الدارمي وكانت له صحبة قال كان الرجلان من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا التقيا لم يفترقا حتى يقرأ أحدهما على الآخر والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر، ثم يسلم أحدهما على الآخر.
من الصحابي؟
أبي مدينة الدارمي.
الشيخ حفظه الله ورعاه. He began by thanking Allah and praising Him and sending the peace and blessings upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم and saying, whomsoever Allah guides, then none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah misguides, then none can guide. And I bear witness and testify that there is no Lord worthy of worship except for Allah, and Muhammad is His slave and messenger. He says, and it proceeds that Surah Al-Asr is the topic of our speech today. And this is a great surah, of course, to the point that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah in his book Miftah Dar al-Sa'ada, that is the key to the home of happiness, he said this surah, Surah Al-Asr, is from the most encompassing surah of the Quran for all good from the roots of good. Yani the fundamentals and foundations of all good are found in the surah, Surah Al-Asr. And for this reason, you will find many of the ulama and scholars have taken a special concern in explaining the surah. Such as Ash-Shawkani. Who's Shawkani? Nashr al-Fawa'id Surah Al-Asr, Ash-Shawkani? No. Such as Imam Ash-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he has a book in which he describes his book as Nashr, the spreading of the Fawa'id, the benefits of Surah Al-Asr, which he explains many of the benefits of this surah. And the Salaf had a respect for this surah, and that is Surah Al-Asr. And they would, at meeting each other, or at yani leaving each other, not leave until they read Surah Al-Asr, and then they would leave. And there was a Sahabi, Abi Medina Ad-Darimi, and he was somebody that had met with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or had a suhbah with him. He said that the man from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not leave his brother until they had read Surah Al-Asr upon each other before departing.
السبب الحامل لقراءة هذه السورة عند الافتراق هو ما اشتملت عليه من الموعظة الحسنة. اشتملت هذه السورة على موعظة حسنة فيها التواصي بالحق والتواصي بالصبر، كأن كل واحد منهما يقول لأخيه أننا في خسارة إذا أننا في خسارة نحن وغيرنا من الجنس الإنساني، إلا أننا سنربح إذا نحن تخلصنا من هذه الخسارة بأن نكون على الإيمان وأن نعمل صالحا. فكل واحد منهما يوصي الآخر بهذه الموعظة، إياك أن تكون خاسرا، إياك أن تخسر، أوصيك أن تبقى على الإيمان، أوصيك أن تعمل العمل الصالح، كن دائما على الحق واصبر. لأن الإنسان تعترضه أحداث ولعله يفتتن بها، ومن باب الدين النصيحة فلا بد أن ينصح الأخ أخاه، وأحسن هذه النصائح أن يذكره دائما بالإيمان، يذكره بالعمل الصالح، يذكره أن يثبت على الحق، يذكره أن يصبر على أذى الناس، وأن يصبر على الدعوة. فإذا هذه السورة فيها موعظة استفاد منها الصحابة، وكان كل واحد منهما إذا ترك الآخر دائما يذكره بما اشتملت عليه هذه السورة من الهداية.
Shaykh Hafidhullah wa Ra'ah, he continued on to say, the reason that this surah was recited between them so much, Surah Al-Asr, at the time of departing and leaving each other, was because of the admonishment contained within the surah. In it is a reminder for those that are upon, is a reminder that all of Bani Adam, all of the sons of Adam, the children of Adam, the human beings, are in a state of loss, a continuous state of loss. Each minute of their lives is another minute gone, another loss. So it is reminding them that we are in loss. But if we sought to be from those who are successful, then this is a reminder for us. Because the surah says, except for those who believe until the end of the surah, so it is as if the Sahaba were reminding each other, we're all in loss. But if we seek to be successful, then we need to be from the believers that had iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do righteous actions and be upon the haqq regardless of what everybody else is upon and be patient upon it. So it is as if the person is telling his brother, I'm reminding you not to be a loser. I'm reminding you not to be from the losers. I'm advising you that you do the righteous actions and that you be on the haqq no matter what and that you be patient upon it and take the burden upon yourself and withstand the harm of the people upon you for being upon this haqq. And that is that the human being, the person, he might face certain trials in his life and become weak. And there is no better advice that a brother can give to his brother except that be a believer, do righteous actions, stay upon the haqq, and be patient upon it. So this was from their guidance, radiyallahu anhum, the Sahaba, is that they reminded each other of this in a continuous fashion because everybody is faced with trials at all times. And this is their admonishment to each other and reminder.
معنى كلمة العصر، الله عز وجل أقسم بالعصر، فما معنى العصر؟ معنى العصر الزمان الماضي، فهو اسم للزمان الذي مر وذهب، ولذلك يقال الإعصار لأن الريح تأتي فتمر، وأيضا حين تعصر مثلا فواكه تمرر الماء منها أو تعصر الملابس تمرر الماء، وكذلك عصر النهار يمر وقت النهار، فوقت العصر قبل الغروب يعني مرور النهار وانتقال إلى الغروب. وسميت صلاة العصر بالصلاة الوسطى لأنها بين الليل والنهار. لذلك فضال الليثي قال علمني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وكان فيما علمني أن قال لي حافظ على الصلوات الخمس، فقلت إن هذه ساعات لي فيها أشغال، فمرني بأمر جامع إذا أنا فعلته أجزأ عني، فقال حافظ على العصرين، صلاة قبل طلوع الشمس وصلاة قبل غروبها، يعني صلاة الفجر وصلاة العصر، لأن صلاة الفجر يمر وقت الليل، وصلاة العصر يمر وقت النهار. وقال ابن الأثير في النهاية: سماهما العصرين لأنهما يقعان في طرفي العصرين، الليل والنهار، طرف الليل الفجر وطرف النهار العصر.
الشيخ حفظه الله went on to explain the meaning of the word عصر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he swore by al-asr. Al-asr is time that has passed by. This is what al-asr means, time that has passed. And from it is the word i'sar. You will see the rain when it comes by, you will say i'sar. It came by, when the cloud came by, dropped its rain and went past you already. This was called i'sar. And from it is the i'sar of the fruits. That is the, when you're extracting the juice from the fruits. And from it is the clothing, when, you know, when you're drying it with your hands. This is i'sar, when you're wringing the water from the close, this is also i'sar. And asr time is called asr al-nahar because this is the time that the day is passing by to meet with the night. It is a time of passing, so it is called i'sar. And asr was called the salat al-wusta, the middle salah, because it was the salah between the day and the night. Fudal al-Laythi said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam ordered me, or he admonished me to, he said, hafidh, yani be well, protective of establishing the five prayers. He said, this is a time that I have work to do, so order me with something that is encompassing of all good that I may do. He said then, حافظ على العصرين, be protective of establishing the two عصر, the عصرين. This is, the Prophet ﷺ continues on to say, this is the salawat before the coming of day and before the coming of night. And that is Salat al-Fajr and Salat al-Asr. So Salat al-Fajr is from i'sar because it passes by. The night is passing to meet with the day. And Salat al-Asr is another time of passing where the day is meeting with the night. And Ibn al-Athir, he said they were called Asrain by the Prophet ﷺ because they are two ends of the day. One is at the beginning and one is at the end.
لو نظرنا في كتاب الله العزيز نجد من حيث الترتيب ترتيب سور المصحف أن سورة العصر قبلها سورة التكاثر، ألهاكم التكاثر. يعني أن الإنسان يلهو. بتكثير المال وبتكثير الولد، وبذلك يمضي الوقت. وجاء بعد سورة العصر سورة ويل لكل همزة لمزة، الذي جمع مالا وعدده. فهذا الذي اشتغل بجمع المال دخل في اللهو، ومن دخل في اللهو مضى وقته. لذلك نبه الله عز وجل في سورة التكاثر بقوله: ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر. ثم قال: والعصر. فبعد أن نبه عن الشغل على الشغل بالتكاثر، نبه على أهمية الوقت، لفت نظر الناس إلى أهمية الوقت، العمر، وأن من طبيعة البشر أنها تحب الزيادة وتكاثر من أمور الدنيا، وهذا يعلقها في الدنيا ويشغلها عن الآخرة. فهو مشغول مهموم بجمع المال، وهذه تجارة خاسرة. الذي يهتم بباب جمع المال في الدنيا ويهتم بتكثيره فإنه يخسر الآخرة، وهذه خسارة كبيرة. لذلك في سورة العصر: كل الناس هم في خسارة، والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر. هذه هي طبيعة الإنسان، هؤلاء هم البشر، هذا الذي يغلب عليهم هو التكاثر والاهتمام بجمع المال.
Shaykh Hafidhullah wa ra'ah, he said, if we look at the way that the Quran was put together in order, you will find before Surah Al-Asr we have Surah Al-Takathur. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us, or showing us, the state of the people always accumulating their wealth. And this is what you will find what the majority of people doing: bringing their wealth together, building it up, children, money, property. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us about this, and then Surah Al-Asr comes. And he is telling us, well, pay attention to your time. He's warning against this accumulation of wealth and spending your time in that. And then after that comes Surah Al-Asr, so that you may wake up and pay attention to the time that you have been given. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَ. Woe. إيش الهمزة اللمزة؟
يعني يلمز ويغمز.
Okay.
يلمز ويغمز يعني
يلمز. Woe to every person that يعني he is someone that puts down the others, speaking about them in a envious manner. And then the one that has brought forth his wealth to
to count it, always counting it over and over.
So the first surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is admonishing us not to be from those that have spent their time in accumulating wealth and children and property. And then in Surah Al-Asr, he's reminding us your time is precious. And then in the next surah, he is showing that this person, woe to him, that is continually concerned with his wealth again. For the one that goes out and all he seeks is wealth, he has entered into the realm of lahu, vain action, worthless speech. This is all lahu. It's hollow and has no benefit. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, pay attention to your time that I have given you. Because it might, as he says in Surah Takathur, you have been taken, al-hakum, you have spent your time in accumulating your wealth and property and children until you have visited the graves. Now, this is the majority of people. This is how mankind is. The general folk, this is their main concern. Money, property, children, this is what they do. And few of them are concerned with the akhirah and building that up. So all of the people are in loss due to this. And this is, like we said, the nature of the human being, that most of what he is doing is accumulating wealth, wasting his time until the appointment with the grave comes to him.
ولو نظرنا في ترتيب سور حسب النزول نجد أن سورة الشرح سبقت سورة العصر وفيها قوله عز وجل فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. وفي هذه الآية أمر الله عز وجل العبد ألا يستغرق وقته كله في العمل في أمور الدنيا، بل لا بد أن يجعل من وقته وقتا للعبادة. فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. هل الإنسان يعمل ولكن يبقي من وقته جزء للعبادة، لعبادة الله عز وجل. ثم من حيث النزول، السورة التي تلت سورة العصر هي سورة العاديات، وفيها إن الإنسان لربه لكنود وإنه لحب الخير لشديد. هذه طبيعة موجودة في الإنسان. فخلاصة ما في ذلك أن الله عز وجل نبه أنه لا يجوز للإنسان أن يتعلق بالدنيا وأن يفتتن بها وأن يفتتن بالمال. وهذه الأمة، أمة محمد، فتنتها بالمال، لقوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لكل أمة فتنة، وفتنة أمة المال. لذلك كثيرا من الناس تجدهم متعلقين بجمع المال، متعلقين بمضاعفة هذا المال، وهذا التعلق ألهاهم عن ذكر الله عز وجل، ألهاهم عن التعلم. لذلك سبق هذا التنبيه قول الله عز وجل في سورة الفجر: وتحبون المال حبا جما. فالإنسان بحاجة إلى أن يتعلق بالعبادة، وأن ينتبه أنه لا يجوز له أن يتعلق بالدنيا وبالمال فينصرف وقته فيصل الآخرة وقد خسر. فالإنسان إذا جمع على سبيل المثال آلاف دولارات، آلاف الأموال، فإنه إذا جمعها دون أن يعمل للآخرة فإنه عند قبره فإن ماله يرجع، يعني لا يأخذ ماله معه، إنما يرثه الورثة، وهو يأتي يبقى معه العمل، فأين العمل الصالح؟ فهذا إذن من الذين ربحوا في الدنيا مالا ولكنه خسر في الآخرة مآلا.
English translation. Shaykh Hafidhullah wa Ra'ah, he said, now if we look at the Quran in the order of revelation, we have before Surah Al-Fajr, Surah Al-Asr, we have Surah Al-Sharh, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so when you have finished your occupation, devote yourself for Allah's worship, and to your Lord alone turn all your intentions and hopes. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making clear to us that after work and your free time, then devote yourself to the worship of Allah. But don't make your whole life a matter of work and accumulation and desires and fulfillment of these worldly issues all the time. Rather, you need to devote yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. And then you find after Surah Al-Asr, in the order of revelation, Al-Adiyat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily mankind was to their Lord kanud. That is, hang on, I got it here. Yani they were ungrateful of the favors of their Lord upon them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting these things in order like this, in this manner. First of all, with Surah Al-Sharh, so when you have free time, then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. And then Surah Al-Asr, in reminding the people of their loss, and the dunya will end. So don't waste your time And then in Al-Adiyat, explaining that mankind was to their Lord ungrateful, and he loved wealth and to accumulate wealth. And verily he is violent in the love of wealth, as the translation here says. And the fitna of this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is money. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, every ummah has a fitna, and the fitna of my ummah, my nation, is al-mal, wealth or money. So the people have been taken by this, wasting their time in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in Surah Al-Fajr, وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا, and you love wealth, a great and extreme love. But rather the reality of what the person should be sticking to and holding fast to is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, not the accumulation of the dunya. Because he will continue in this seeking money, seeking property, seeking children, seeking whatever it is of this worldly affair, until he and his akhirah comes to him and he's lost. He hasn't attained anything. A person might build up thousands and thousands of dollars in the dunya, but when it comes time to meet Allah, or when it comes time for his death, he has to leave that money behind. And nothing goes with him except for his actions. So at that point, he will search and be in need of the righteous actions. And where are they? So of course, this is enough of an admonition for the person to do righteous actions and not be of the people that their main concern and their main time is spent in accumulating the dunya.
فحين نقول عصر الإنسان يعني عمره ومدة حياته, ولذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال في الحديث الذي خرجه الإمام البخاري وأحمد والترمذي وابن ماجه والدارمي عن ابن عباس قال: نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس, الصحة والفراغ, الصحة والفراغ. ومعنى مغبون يعني مخدوع, وأصل الغبن في البيع والشراء أنه اشترى سلعة فخدع بها, يعني أنه خسر. فهذا الإنسان أعطي الفراغ وأعطي الصحة, ولكنه كسل عن الطاعة. ولذلك قد يكون الإنسان مشغولا في المعاش, ولكنه يعني إما أن يكون الإنسان صحيح البدن لكنه مشغول بالمعاش, وإما أن يكون غني ولكن بدنه غير صحيح, يعني غير قوي, لعل هذا عنده عذر, ما يستطيع يأتي يتعلم أو كذا. لكن المغبون الذي عنده الوقت وعنده الصحة, اجتمع لديه الصحة والوقت، ومع هذا لم يشتغل بطاعة الله عز وجل، فهذا مغبون مخدوع، صرف طاقته وصحته ووقته في غير مرضاة الله عز وجل، صرفهما بالتعلق في الدنيا، فهذا خسارته كبيرة لأنه مغبون مخدوع.
Shaykh hafidhuhullah wa ra'ah, he went on and continued to say about Surah Al-Asr. Al-Asr means the time that the human, the person has to live. It's the time of his life. Has been stated in Bukhari and a whole bunch of other books of hadith. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu narrates, there are two issues that the people are fooled by or deceived with. As-sihha, health, good health that is, and al-faragh, free time. The word in Arabic used, maghboon, comes from ghaban, deception, being deceived. And this comes from basically business transactions of buying and selling. So the one that has been deceived, ghubin, is one that has lost in the sale or been fooled by it. So it's as if the person is being fooled with these two things he's been given of free time and good health. He uses them foolishly, not paying attention. Now there could be a man that is strong in his health, in his body, but his time is taken with making a living. Or there could be somebody that is ghani, he is wealthy, but his body has illnesses. And maybe these two have an excuse of some sort. But the maghboon, the one that is fooled and deceived, is the one that has both free time and good health. And with that, he does not remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not seek knowledge. He does not do the actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes from him. So his affair was stuck to the dunya. His time was wasted and he was fooled by these two issues. Abdullah fi tadfi'a fil masjid. Thallajna.
So you got some heat in here? Man, you're freezing, man. Popsicles over here.
The mafish, mafish. What's it? Oh, shishi. لا خلاص طول
بس احنا سالنا اذا ما فيش خلاص نمشيها
بارك الله فيك
العصر تمر
نعم يمر من الوقت هسه تفضل شيخنا
لذلك الإمام البخاري رحمه الله بعد هذا الحديث الذي أخرجه في أول كتاب الرقاق، وهو نعمتان مغبون فيهما كثير من الناس، الصحة والفراغ، جاء بحديث آخر بعده قال، هو حديث أنس رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: اللهم لا عيش إلا عيش الآخرة. ومناسبة إراد هذا الحديث مع حديث ابن عباس أن الناس قد غبن كثير منهم في الصحة والفراغ لإيثارهم لعيش الدنيا على عيش الآخرة. فأراد الإمام البخاري الإشارة إلى أن العيش الذي اشتغلوا به ليس بشيء، بل العيش الذي شغلوا عنه هو المطلوب، ومن فاته فهو المغبون. وأخرج الترمذي وابن ماجه وابن حبان وأحمد عن أبي هريرة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إن الله يقول: يا ابن آدم تفرغ لعبادتي أملأ صدرك غنى وأسد فقرك، وإلا تفعل ملأت يديك شغلا ولم أسد فقرك. حديث آخر عن معقل بن يسار عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال: يقول ربكم تبارك وتعالى: يا ابن آدم تفرغ لعبادتي أملأ قلبك غنى وأملأ يديك رزقا، يا ابن آدم لا تباعد مني فأملأ قلبك فقرا وأملأ يديك شغلا.
حديث عندك شيخنا؟
صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا الحديث، هذا الحديث.
بارك الله فيكم، جزاك الله خيرا.
الشيخ حفظه الله. He continued on to say now that preceding hadith about the ghaban, those that are deceived and fooled, came in Sahih Bukhari. Imam al-Bukhari put it at the first, it was the first hadith in the chapter of al-raqa'iq, those things that make the heart soft, so that they may remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first hadith was the hadith of the ghaban, that there are two things that the people are deceived by: free time and good health. And then he put a hadith after that in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said: Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. Oh Allah, there is no living, there is no life except the life of the last, or the akhirah, or the next. As if Imam Bukhari is telling the people, the life that you're trying to accumulate and you're living is worthless. And the real one is the life the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling you about. It is the next life. It is the Akhirah. And there's a hadith that comes from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from Abu Hurairah, narrated by Abu Hurairah from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says: O son of Adam, free yourself to worship me, and I will fill your heart with wealth, and I will cover for you any poorness that you have. That is, I will not leave you to be poor. And if you do not do so, then I will fill your hands with work, and I will leave you to be poor. And in another hadith similar to this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O son of Adam, free yourself to my worship, or for my worship, and I will fill your heart with wealth, and I will fill your hands with sustenance. O son of Adam, do not be far away from me, or else I will fill your heart with poorness, and I will fill your hands with work.
فالله عز وجل أقسم بالعصر بهذا الوقت الذي يذهب، وذهابه يعني خسارة للناس عموما، لأنهم اشتغلوا بالدنيا وتعلقوا بها وفتنوا بجمع المال. لكن هؤلاء الذين استثناهم هم الذين ربحوا. من هم الذين ربحوا من دون الناس؟ الذين ربحوا من دون الناس هم الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. فهذه بشرى للمؤمن الذي يؤمن ويعمل العمل الصالح ويتمسك بالحق ويصبر على ما يقدره الله عز وجل من المصائب، أو يصبر على أذى الناس. هذه البشرى يفرح بها المؤمن لأنه يعمل بها والآخرين يخسرون. إذن هذه السورة فيها ترغيب وترهيب، ترغيب للعمل الصالح، الإيمان والعمل الصالح، وترهيب من أن يمر الوقت من غير فائدة، أن يمر الوقت والإنسان يلهو. ومعلوم أن الذي يكون مؤمنا متمسكا بما أمر الله عز وجل من مسائل الإيمان، توحيد، توحيد الألوهية، توحيد الأسماء والصفات، عقيدته سليمة متبعة للكتاب والسنة وفهم السلف، ويعمل بهذا الدين، يعمل الأعمال الصالحة، يعلم الآخرين أو يدعوهم إلى الحق أو يعاونهم في الخير، ويتواصى بالحق، يعني يستمر يوصي نفسه ويوصي غيره بالحق خشية أن يفتتن فيما تعرضه الدنيا. كل يوم للدنيا عرض جديد وزينة. الإنسان إذا ترك الوصية بالحق ترك العمل الصالح، وإذا ترك العمل الصالح يخشى أن يترك الإيمان. كم من الناس فتن بالمال وفتن بالدنيا خسر العمل الصالح وضل في مسائل الإيمان. وعلى الإنسان أن يحصن نفسه بالثبات على الحق والثبات على الصراط المستقيم، يبقى مؤمنا عاملا للصالحات، يوصي نفسه وغيره أن يتمسك بالحق، وعليه أن يصبر. إذا أصابته مصيبة صبر فكان خيرا له، وإن جاءه نعمة شكر فكان خيرا له. فالمؤمن في كلا الأمرين، إن كان صابرا فهو شاكرا، وإن كان شاكرا فهو أيضا صابرا، فيصبر على ما يلقاه من مصائب الدنيا، ويصبر على أن يتحمل أن يبقى متمسكا بالحق، لأن التكاليف الشرعية تحتاج إلى صبر، حمل الأمانة تحتاج إلى صبر، أن يبقى على صراط المستقيم يحتاج فيه إلى الصبر، أن يتحمل في الدعوة أذى الآخرين يحتاج إلى صبر، لقوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من خالط الناس وصبر على أذاهم خيرا ممن اعتزلهم ولم يصبر على أذاهم. فالرابح إذن ضد الخاسر، تجارة المؤمن رابحة في الدنيا لأنه يستثمر الوقت. لو كان عندنا مال نفكر كيف نستثمره حتى نزيد به، ولكن لو كانت عندنا طاعة لله فيجب أن نفكر كيف نستثمر الوقت. ولذلك من مضيعة الوقت أن نأمر الناس بالفقه الأصغر قبل الفقه الأكبر. لا بد أولا أن نعلم الناس التوحيد، العقيدة الصحيحة، ثم ننقلهم بالتعليم إلى الفقه الأصغر. كذا الإنسان كلما تعلم وجد في العمر والوقت فرصة في استثمارها حتى يزيد البركة في وقته، البركة في ماله، البركة في ولده، البركة في حسناته، فيأتي الآخرة فيكون مع الفائزين.
Shaykh Hafidhu Allah wa ra'ah, he continued on to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he swears by the time, with al-asr. And this time it passes by, something that is never staying still, rather it passes by. And due to this, people are always going to be in a state of loss because they are always losing something. Now, the real loser here, or the ones that are really losing, are the ones that have held, or their hearts are totally connected to the dunya and the accumulation of wealth and other than it in the affairs of this dunya. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an exception for some. And it is the ones that have iman, that have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and went on to do the righteous actions and ordered with that which is good and right, and then had patience upon that. So this is a glad tiding, and this is a good news for the believer that has iman in Allah and he does the righteous actions and he's patient upon it, and the harm of the people to him, he's patient with all of this. This is a good news for him. So the mu'min becomes happy at reading this surah because he is one that's acting upon it. The more he reads it, the more he's happy because this is his reality. He's acting upon this. While others are not paying attention, they have no action. And in this surah is targhib, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is admonishing us to do something, and tarheeb, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us from another. So he is admonishing us and calling us to do righteous actions, al-amal al-salih, while he's warning us from wasting our time in empty desires and fulfillment or attaining wealth and other than it of the affairs that will only increase you in dunya. He's warning you from trying to go and accumulate that at all times. And it is known that the one who is a believer that holds fast to the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger upon the understanding of the Salaf, the predecessors, then he is the one that has submitted to this targhib and tarheeb. He is the one that takes the admonishment and is heedful of it and takes the warning and stays away from that which Allah has warned him from. He is one that is upon the tawheed of Allah, upon the correct aqidah, belief system, that is clean of all deficiencies, then this person that is mu'min and has done the righteous actions, he is someone that goes forth in a hurry to do goodness and righteous actions. But in doing so, after he has believed and does this righteous actions, he calls himself to the haqq. He calls his own self to the truth, and then he calls his brothers to that truth, to the haqq. He reminds them of it after reminding himself, because he fears the fitna of the dunya might take him, because the dunya every day presents a new fitna for the person. And he fears that he might slip and fall into the fitna of the dunya. And if he leaves ordering himself and reminding himself of the haqq and his brothers, this is a means for him to leave the righteous actions as well. And if he leaves the righteous actions, then he is a loser and he has lost everything. So ordering yourself with the haqq, reminding yourself of that which is haqq, will keep you establishing the righteous actions you're ordered with, reminding the brothers around you in the same manner, is something that will help you stay firm upon the path. And it is upon him that he has patience in taking this burden upon himself. It's not an easy burden to take on. It's not something light. Continually doing the righteous actions, continually calling the people to it, reminding them, this is a heavy burden, it's not light, and it's in need of patience. It's in need of patience, and taking the harm upon yourself, being patient in it, this is something praiseworthy, where the Prophet ﷺ said, the believer that mixes with the people, meaning calling them to the haqq, and is patient upon their harm to him, is better and more beloved than the one who does not mix with the people. And this is the like of the believer. If he is faced with a problem in his life, then he is patient. And if he is blessed with something, then he is thankful. And he's between these two stations at all times. Patient upon harm that has come upon him, or thankful for blessings that have been given to him. So the mu'min, he has a business transaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is his time. His transaction is in time, where the people, they might try to accumulate wealth here. Maybe you want to double your money or triple it. You want to make more money off of what you have. And this is the affair of the people of dunya, continuously thinking about, how am I going to double my money? How am I going to make it build up? Rather, the believer is one that is doing business with his time, because that's what he owns. He owns his time, and he's building that time, not trying to get money, but he is building that time with the good actions, because that's what he has to present. This is his, yani, this is what he has. This is his tijara. This is his business. This is what he's going to be able to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is somebody that is spending his time in righteous actions. And from this is that the person, he learns that which is most necessary before that which is more, is less necessary. And this is learning fiqh al-akbar, that is the greater understandings, before the fiqh al-asghar, the lesser understandings. That is, you learn tawheed, and you learn your aqidah, your belief system, and you learn these manners before you go on to the lesser ones. You learn what's most important, and then what comes after that. Because this is the way that time needs to be spent, with what is most important at the time. And that's where you make the most out of it, is where the most profit is, and what is most important at the time. And the person, the more he is able to learn, the more doors of goodness that are opened up for him, that he may enter into and have more sort of say, business transactions to deal with. Now he has more that he can accumulate of good actions, because he is learning more about them and how to do them. So this person, he is continuously learning, learning more about good, doing more good. He becomes blessed in his life, in his wealth, in his family, in his time, until he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as successful and victorious.
في أسئلة غير عندي سؤال أنا بس هذا خلي.
Seems our time is ending and I guess inshallah we stop here. I'm not sure what the program is. Where's Abu Abdullah? Upstairs?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think there's breakfast coming for the brothers and everything. So inshallah we could stop here.
في سؤال نعمله. هو يسأل عن نصيحة في طلب العلم يعني منهجية منهج كيف تكون منهج طالب العلم أو كيف يطلب العلم. أهم شيء في طلب العلم هو الاتصال بأهل العلم, الاتصال بأهل العلم, وهذا الاتصال وإن كان قليلا يعني اتصال قليل دائم خير من عندنا مثل يقول قليل دائم خير من كثير منقطع. التواصل الدائم مع أهل العلم يعين ويساعد يعني في طريق طلب العلم. أهم شيء الاتصال ودراسة العلوم على يد شيخ. هلا إذا لم يكن هناك شيخا حولك يمكن الاتصال به وهو يحدد لك مثلا في الشهر هذا تقرأ كذا وكذا. والآن وسائل الاتصال سهلة, ممكن بعد قراءتك الكتاب أن تكتب ملاحظاتك فيما لم تفهم وترسل بهذه الملاحظات على بريد الإيميل وتتم الإجابة, وهكذا تمشي فيما يعينه لك من القراءة والتعلم حتى يستطيع الإنسان أن يعني أن يربط في النهاية هذه المواد وتتشكل عنده فهم سليم وصحيح. فإذا الله عز وجل يسر له ذلك ثم يستطيع هو فيما بعد أن يقرأ ويكون على فهم طيب إن شاء الله, لأن هناك موضوعات كثيرة إما في التفسير أو في الحديث أو في اللغة العربية, كتب العقيدة, شروح التوحيد, كتب في الفرق, في المنهج, في الآداب والأخلاق, كتب تتحدث عن أهل الكتاب, تتكلم عن بني إسرائيل, أيضا تتناول سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والتاريخ, وكتب الفقه الأصغر تشمل أركان الإسلام من صلاة وزكاة وحج, ثم كتب الفضائل, فضائل الأمكنة, فضائل البقاع, فضائل المساجد. هذا لكن أهم شيء في طالب العلم أن يبقى يعني يواصل الطلب.
Questioner asks about the way of seeking knowledge, or manhaj, a methodology of seeking knowledge. Shaykh Hafidhullah, he said, what's most important is that the student of knowledge stays in a continuous connection with the people of knowledge, even if it is yani not much, but it's continuous. And he says, a little bit of continuous action is better than a lot of sporadic action. So always stay with the, yani, in touch with your scholars, with the ulama, seeking advice from them. And this is a great ma'una. This is a great help in the seeker of knowledge, for the seeker of knowledge, that he stays with the sheikh, consistent, calling him every once in a while and asking him. This will greatly help a student of knowledge, because this is what he is in most in need of, a teacher. And if he has a teacher to teach him the books and the sciences, this is where he should be doing, sitting with the teacher to teach him. If this is not possible for him, then it is best that he calls up and asks, and has the sheikh, the scholar, his teacher, give him a certain amount to read within the month. And then he takes his notes on what he has read and any issues that he may have, and send those in a letter or an email to the scholar, that he may reply back with answers for him. And this way he may build the correct understanding of what is really being said in the book. And what he is really learning is correct, and he is not yani diluted in his understanding of it. It's very important that he stays connected to the people of knowledge. That's where he has to take his knowledge, and that's how he will stay upon a correct understanding. And this is what the Sheikh said he really needs to do, or else the subjects are many. There's too many subjects to count. You know, aqidah, tawheed, the sunnah, the wajib, the books about the sects and the groups, the books about the manners, and the books about history and the seerah of the Prophet, and the history of the previous nations of Bani Israel and other than them, the fundamentals and foundations of Islam, the principles, the books of sunan, the books of virtues of places, times, and masajid. And there are many books and many topics to be covered. And in summarization, the Sheikh says, stick to a teacher. Make sure you have a teacher.
No.
So, Cain, that Allah mentions about killing, if he wasn't a prophet, is the likes of him.
But who is he?
Killing, whether Musa
or Hey, Khidr. You know.
If he was not a prophet,
mm-hmm.
is the likes of him still alive?
يسأل عن الخضر الخضر إذا ما كان نبي بعض الناس يقولوا ليس بنبي هل يعني يوجد مثله في العالم اليوم يعني ملهم هكذا
أولا الخضر نبي الخضر عليه السلام نبي هذا الصحيح نعم هو نبي من الأنبياء نعم لكن بعض الفرق الضالة مثل الصوفية ترى أن الخضر حي وهذا ما كان يعتقده أيضا بعض النصارى يقولون ما زال الخضر حي لذلك يقولون يستغيثون شركا يقولون يا خضر يا حي
النصارى
بعضهم يقول يا خضر يا حي يستغيث وبعض الصوفية كما قلت يعتقدون بأنه حي ويقولون ببعض الأحاديث الموضوعة والإسرائيلية أن الخضر يأتي المسجد الأقصى في كل أسبوع ويجتمع مع الصالحين هذا ضلال كذب
So الخضر is alive. I was a prophet of Allah, and he is dead, alayhi salam. And some of the sects, such as the Sufiyya, they think he's still alive. They have this belief that he's still alive. And likewise, some of the Christians, they have the belief that this man is still alive. And they have a dua, they call upon him, they say, Ya Khadr, Ya Hayy. Ya Khadr, Ya Alive. Oh, Khadr. You're alive, or something like that. So, it's a false understanding to have that Khadr is alive. And they also have, the Sufis have a fabricated hadith, I guess you could say, or mawdu', just a lie, that Khadr comes to the Masjid al-Aqsa every week and meets with the righteous people, just has a meeting with them every week. So, this is some of the bid'ah, the innovations that have come about concerning Al-Khadr
alayhi salam.
سمي الخضر لأنه كان يجلس على فروة خضراء.
ما شاء الله. He was called al-Khadr because he would sit on a.
صحيح هذا.
A فروة. Now the فروة is something I don't know. It's like the عباي. Inside it is lined with the sheep fur. And you might have seen some of the brothers wearing that. And he would sit on one of those and it was green. So he was called Al-Khadr because he would sit on a green farwa. Right. No.
ضعفوا. الله أكبر. بعضهم قال لا تزال طائفة من أمتي وافترق يقول وافترقت أمتي على 73 فرقة كلها في الجنة إلا واحدة. لا هو صحيح ولا كذبة لأنهم يبغضون هذا الحديث. أهل البدع يبغضون هذا الحديث. عرفت علي كيف؟ أهل البدع يبغضون هذا الحديث. صحيح الحديث طبعا معروف.
طيب
وشو اسمه هذا؟ شو بدنا؟ لا هذا بغض للسنة أعوذ بالله. هذا ضلال. هذا ضلال. خلاص مردود عليه. نمشي نحن في الطائفة الناجية هو يخليه يضل ينبح. ما صحيح.
طيب أبو محمد
هذا ما صحيح أبدا.
He was asking about the 70, the hadith of the 73 sects. All of them in the hellfire except for one. There, a man came about and an area that the sheikh lives in, the brother lives in, and he declared the hadith is da'if. Of course, it's well known that the hadith has been authenticated by many scholars of hadith. There's no doubt in the authentication of the hadith. Now, the sheikh, hafidhullah, he says, there's other groups that have come and done even worse where they say, this ummah was split up into 73 sects, all of them in Jannah except for one. So they flipped the hadith to the opposite meaning. And, you say, how do we reply to him? Yani, the reply is clear. You just stick to the haqq and you want to be from the ta'ifa and najiyah. Then you just stick to that. And you can't, he said, you can't reply to every barking dog. No. نكتفي بهذا القدر شيخنا. بارك الله فيكم. جزاكم الله خيرا.
اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.